All right, open your Bibles. Yes, sir. Catiandus de manto, bracabinca. Ori sarandolica. And why you're, oh, yeah, you don't know where, do you? Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 12. I'm not going to be teaching really on Hebrews today. God's given Alan that assignment for this season. But this is what he added while I was sitting in the chair. Catiandus de. Yes, sir. You know, most of you know, and many of you were here, we just finished our October conference. And I know many of you can't come because the services, except maybe on Sunday of that week, because the services are during the day, and many of you have to work. We understand that. But yet the services are online. And if you, I'm not going to take a show of hands. That's not what's important. What is important is this. You need those services. Every blessed one of them, by every speaker that spoke, because it is a historical conference. All of us will look back on this one and say, that's when it changed. We're moving in a transition. Now, one of the things that you'll hear, if you were not able to attend that conference, you're going to hear me read a prophecy, which I'm not going to read it again today, by Smith Wigglesworth from 1939. Now, he passed away in 1947, which, by the way, is the same year I was born. I've always wanted that to be prophetic, but anyway. One of my great personal heroes of the faith, Smith Wigglesworth. So, if you know, World War II ended in 1944, so he was only alive 3 years after the end of the war, and died in his 80s, still ministering. Just went on to be with Jesus. Didn't die of a sickness or anything. Just time to go home. And but he prophesied in 1939 to Lester Sumrall. And I'm just going to... The whole prophecy, I read it, and we also have it in a PDF at the website if you'd like your own copy of it. But how many of you think Smith might just hear God a little bit? I think so. He saw coming events. And the first one he saw was the healing revival. He said it's going to really, really break out after right after World War II. Well, how many knows it did? Jack Coe, Branham, Oral Roberts. We could go on and on down the list of those great healing revivals. He said it's going to be so easy for people to get healed. Well, did he see that correctly? And he was even in that one for about 3 years himself. But then the rest of these, he didn't live to see, but he saw. He said, oh, I see people from all denominations. And all of a sudden, they're all speaking in other tongues, and they're getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't we call that the charismatic renewal? Yes. Catholics, Baptists, Protestants of all kinds getting filled with the Holy Ghost. He saw that one, didn't he? Okay, two for two. All right, number three. Oh, I see another wave after that. I see stadiums and large auditoriums being filled up with people, and they're all bringing notebooks and notepads and pencils and to write on, because there's going to be a great teaching wave of the Word of God. Have we not experienced that? What do we call that? That's the Word of Faith movement. It got some people tried to derail it, but the foundations of that are good. Okay? But then he saw the next wave. That, I believe, is right where we are now. See, right where we are now. He said, oh, I see the next wave. And he said, it's going to be the greatest revival in the history of the world. And it's going to be a wave of the gifts of the Spirit. See, Joel prophesied about that. It's called Joel's Army. And it's going to move from the pulpit to the pew. If you'll allow me, every one of you is going to be used by God. Going to be used by the Holy Ghost. Can I say it that way? You're going to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, at least in the gifts level. You understand that? Now, let's talk about baby church and mature church just for a moment. In the New Testament, wouldn't we call the Corinthian church the baby church? Because Paul called them that. He says, you're babes in Christ. I can't even give you meat. All I can do is give you milk. Yet in chapter 1, he says, you come behind in no gift. So say it with me. I don't care if I'm the least. If I'm a baby in Christ. Still easily offended. Cry a lot. And make messes. I come behind in no gift. You're eligible to be used right now. I'll go one step further. You're going to find all of the gifts of the Spirit except tongues and interpretation of tongues. You find all the rest of them in the Old Testament. God using people that weren't even born again. Jesus said about John the Baptist, born of a woman, there's not, you know, John, he never was born again. He said, born of a woman, there's not arisen a greater than John the Baptist, but the least in the kingdom is greater than John. Well, one way you're greater, if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you can speak in tongues and get the interpretation too, thank you. The understanding at least. So, I almost, you know, if we're going to have long services, now this is Gary and not God, I'll just tell you. But Gary, if I had my way, we'd lock the doors and make you listen to Alan's message this morning before I preach my message. Because I'm telling you, it's the part one and part two. Now, since we can't, can we do that? No, we can't do that. So I'm going to, now I want you to listen to that message, okay? Because I'm just, Sue calls me the master of synopsis. I'm going to capsulize in about three or four statements that message so we can at least kind of connect with it and go on, okay? He started off giving it. See, my dad is one of those. He talked about in the old days, he said the farmers had so many kids because they needed help on the farm. Both of my grandmothers had 12 kids. 12. Oh, I can't imagine being pregnant, Harley. But I sure can't imagine being pregnant 12 years of my life. Holy cannoli. Wow. They're tough women, okay? But they did need help on the farm, and my dad was one of those that at the fifth grade, he never went beyond the fifth. I've heard this story from two different people. I don't really know if it's either fifth grade or eighth grade. I've heard both. But anyway, he was held. Grandpa said, no more. I need you on the farm. That was real common. Well, my dad did really good. He taught himself how to read blueprints and became a superintendent in some pretty big construction work and eventually had his own business. So he did pretty good. But the point Alan was making, that's the exception, not the norm. Normally, if you're raised in a farm and taken out of school at the fifth grade, more than likely, you're going to wind up being a farmer. Isn't that right? Okay, so we're just agreeing. Now, the analogy, he didn't say it exactly this way, but I'm going to go to the end of the message. Because so often we take people out of the school of the Holy Ghost and we harness them in churches, we wind up with churches that are limited to a powerless gospel. Is that okay? Is that okay? We take them out of school too early. And so they're still full of handles. They're still, you know, God. It's not that God can't use them in the gifts. God can use an unsaved person in the gifts. I want to keep bringing that up. And we're supposed to expect, in fact, actually it says covet. Normally coveting is used in a negative way. Don't covet. But we're told to use that same negative thing in a positive way. Covet the best gifts. Say it with me again. I can be used of God today. I expect to be used in the gifts. But I'm going to stay in school. School of the Holy Spirit is what I'm talking about. See? All right. Now with that little introduction, this is what he added while I'm sitting there on the chair. This really wasn't part of my message, but it is now. I am a soldier. When I'm told to charge the hill, I salute smartly and I charge the hill. So did I say open to Hebrews 1? And Hebrews 12. And I know there's much more insight, but for what he wants to do today, he's linked these two together for me. And it has to do with a vision I saw this last week. So Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, let's say different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now notice, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now that's the gospel that Jesus brought. He said, the words aren't even mine. The doctrine is not mine. I'm only saying what my Father tells me to say. I'm teaching the doctrine that he gave me. You got that? So God in sundry times, before Jesus, he spoke in times past by the prophets. Do you know that would include Moses? Moses is called a prophet. Moses is a man from the earth. His body is from the earth. Isn't that right? His spirit even. He was his spirit is of Adam. Let me say it that way. But it's amazing to me that he surrendered to God to the level that he did. Okay? But what I'm saying is Moses, all the prophets were of earth. All of them were born of Adam. Okay? No one could be born again until after the resurrection. Okay? We're clear on that? So God in these... But now see, Jesus was not born of Adam. His spirit is from heaven. Now when that's important where we're going, because it says, refuse not him who speaks from heaven. And he's drawing a contrast to him who spoke from earth, which is Moses. Now Moses received the information from heaven, but the whole book of Hebrews is showing the superiority of Jesus Christ over Moses and the law. Drawing a big comparison. So now go to Hebrews. So who spoke to us? Who spoke to us? The Son, Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now go to Hebrews 12, verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for they escape not who refused him that spake on earth. In context, he's talking about Moses. Okay? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now, if Alan had the pulpit right now, he'd remind you, I think, he's really not talking here about sins like drinking, smoking, chewing, and going with girls that are doing. He's talking about turning away from the gospel. Am I right, Alan? Can I get a nod? Okay. All right. So we got it. What he's saying is, you can't go back to the prophets of old. God has given us something much greater than the prophets of old. In these last days, he has spoken unto us by his Son. And he's warning us not to turn away from him that speaks from heaven. Well, that's Jesus. Okay, now verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, I'm going to let Alan teach line on line through this. That's not my job today. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. One more. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now here's the verse, verse 29. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. I had a little vision this week, a little mini teaching vision, you know. And it's that verse. I heard that verse. And what I saw in front of me, now, yes, sir. What I saw in front of me was a wall of fire. And I mean, I couldn't see the top of this thing, and it extended as far to the right and as far to the left. Let me put it this way. There's no way to go forward without going through the fire. I mean, even I got that. Our God is a consuming fire. Now, at the end of this lesson, I'm going to read you a prophecy. I'm not going to do it right yet. Where God makes reference to that in a little different way. Paraphrase, I want all of you. I want all of you. That's the conference. If you want to know the truth of it, that's the conference. Now, if we're not going to refuse him who spoke and is speaking from heaven, that's Jesus. How many knows Jesus is alive and well? Jesus will still give you instruction. He'll still speak to you individually. That's also the message from this morning, see? All right? Did not our Lord say, my house, put your hand on your heart. You do know you're the temple of the living God. You are his house. So say, put your hand on your heart. Say, Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. He's in the process of driving everything out of the house that interferes with that. Because his house in me is a house of prayer. Now, I think he wants me to read the prophecy first. Okay? So I'm going to do that. This one came through Bronk Flint. I'll tell you when it came. The first service after he got back to Immokalee from the conference. I was able to watch it. He was almost trembling. And he wasn't even able to preach before he gave this. When he began, the presence of God where I was struck me so hard. I mean, I could feel God's presence just as soon as he began talking. That when the prophecy was over, I stopped listening and I called his wife. I said, I want the first copy of that prophecy. the transcript. Hey, when you get that typed up, be sure I get a copy of that. I want to read the prophecy now. Now, again, you need to get those messages. You need to hear those messages. Make sure they're in you from the conference. Because things are not going to stay the way they are. We've been going through a pruning, a purging that's been deeper maybe than at many times in the past. I don't hate to tell you this. You ain't seen nothing yet. Because why else would he show me the fire that I have not yet gone through? Ow. Ow. I feel like I've done been through a whole bunch of fire. He said, well, there's no way forward without going through here. To me, this was God speaking through Pastor Bronk, a summary of the whole conference. Because what good is having conferences if we don't change? There's always two problems. Everyone has the same problem when they first come to the prayer center, most of them. What's your problem, young believer? I can't hear God. Epoxy your britches right here to this chair. Can you shandai? I can shandai. Epoxy, you know, get them filled if they're not filled. Then epoxy their britches in a chair. Get them to read the word, pray in tongues, worship, and fast. At least praying, okay? 6 months to a year later, they got a bigger problem. What's your problem now, young believer? I heard God. I heard him. And you're not going to believe what he's telling me to do. Yeah, I probably will. Does it look impossible? Yes, that's him. He's not calling you to do what you can do. He's calling to do what only he can do through you. He told me one time, he says, I'm not calling you to minister to the people. I'm calling you to let me minister to the people through you. I always have to keep that straight, see. So, this has instructions in it. I may pause when we get there to make sure, you know, Jane, see the ball? Because what good is it if we don't change? Why? Refuse not him who speaks from heaven. They put a title on it called Bring Me Gold. Have I not asked you, being a body from the very beginning, to bring forth that in the earth, which I've laid my hand on you to bring forth, saith the Spirit of grace. And I caution you again, and encourage you again, and solicit from you again, as my dear children, to bring me gold tried by fire, saith the Spirit of grace. And I do not speak specifically of the trying of fire by testings and trials, of which your faith will often be. But I'm asking you to come and complete the purging process. says the Spirit of grace. Now let me stop. That is an instruction. Are you going to do it? How would I do that? Keep listening. Because he gives specific instructions. But that is the mind of Christ, not just for the Immokalee Church, not just for the church in Tulsa, not just Dayton, Ohio, but every one of you that have hitched your wagon, that have hooked up with this vision of going far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to this world. I'm talking about where we get the Tommy Perez's out of the chair. We have a young woman that was born here. My mind has trouble with names when I'm like this. She's born with only a partial brain. Victoria. Thank you, Victoria. Modern medical science has no help at all. There's nothing, nowhere in the natural you can go to get help for Victoria. Do you think for a second if Jesus was on the earth and we put Victoria in his arms? Do you think for a second she wouldn't leave with a fully developed brain? Yes. I know she would. My Bible says he healed them all. Well, how in the world? See, there's nowhere on earth that I know of. If there was, I'd pay the way to get Victoria there. There's nowhere on earth, even in medical ways or church way, you know, where they have an anointing where I can take her and get her brain restored. But I know Jesus would do it in a heartbeat. I know if I could get Tommy Perez to Jesus, the next Sunday, I bet he would be standing here in this pulpit in his right mind and able to articulate exactly and tell what great things the Lord had done for him. Now, see, we're talking about a journey from a powerless. When I say powerless, I don't mean to be demeaning. I thank God for everyone that gets saved, everyone that gets filled, everyone that gets healed. We've seen all kinds of stuff in this church, but I'm talking about where Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do." We've been leaving school too early to go work the fields, and there's been a very little manifestation of the real power of God. Well, he's saying, I'm going to repeat it again, I am asking you to come and complete the purging process, says the Spirit of grace. Continue reading the prophecy. Do not trade your gold for brass. Do not trade your gold for brass. For have I not asked you? Have I not selected you? Have I not cautioned you that I have not selected you above others, that you were to go in a way of pride or arrogance? But yet I have given you a calling that no one can achieve in the earth except through prayer and except through fasting, saith the Spirit of grace. I'm starting to feel the fire. What? Except, say it with me, except through prayer and fasting. Then he continues, except through going into my word and the things of depth and promise. Have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning? Now, see, this is going right back to the conference. He had me go back to the service that Dave ever taught in this building where Dave laid out the vision of the prayer center. God even gave him the name for the thing. I always want the thing. God even gave him the name for the ministry, the prayer center. I didn't know why, you know. Well, now I know why God, why it's called that. Jesus told him to call it that. Okay. So have I not given you a mandate from the very beginning, saith the Spirit of grace? I have gathered your hearts and souls here as one to bring forth that mandate of prayer, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Here's an instruction. Go into me like you never have. Determine in this year to come that you will make this a place of prayer inside of you like you've never known. Many will grab you by the shoulder and by the arm and say, come do this with me. I want to use Alan's message. Drop out of school and come work on the farm. The natural tendency will be to show your love to them and to show your allegiance to me, saith the Lord, so that you would involve yourself in this and that and the other. But I say unto you as a church, and I say unto you as elders, and I say unto you as believers, that what I have laid my hand on you for as kings and priests is to go into the prayer closet. Many will reason, and your natural mind will reason. Satan will come and say, but I've called you to the streets, and I've called you to feed the poor, and I've called you to do all these things, and yes, in me, I will bring those things to pass. But it will not be through an operation of the flesh like most of the church knows. But I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn. Did you hear that? I will bring forth in you an exact replica of my firstborn, the one who walked in front of you. Yes, he fed the poor. And yes, he brought forth ministry everywhere he went. It was because he knew me in the private place. It was because he continued to purge himself continually and walk in a place of commitment to me, says the Spirit of grace. I'm asking you to narrow your vision like never before. I'm asking you to zero in like never before. I'm calling you, says the Spirit of grace, to become laser focused like never before. Being busy is not a sign. Actually, it says business is not a sign. And over busyness is not a sign. And over busyness is not a sign unto you or a confirmation to you that great works are being done. And yet there will be times where you will be very, very busy doing my work, saith the Lord. I tremble. Let's forsake not him who speaks from heaven. Now listen. He says, God, if he was standing right here, we'd be on our faces. We'd be on our knees. We'd be trembling. He says, listen and hearken. That hearken means obey. I have few. I have very few that are willing to do this. I have very few that are willing to hide themselves in the secret place and go into my word and go into my spirit and deny their flesh. The flesh will give you many opportunities to minister in my name. And yet I will work a work there as much as I can. But I have a very select few that will hide themselves and bring forth the anointing that causes a citywide and a statewide revival, says the Spirit of the Lord. I'm asking you, kings and priests, I'm asking you to come away with me to a place that I've solicited from you for many, many years. And I am pleased with you, saith the Spirit of grace, and that's Alan's message also. Don't get confused. He doesn't love you because of what you do, really. He loves you because of who you are. You need to hear Alan's message. He said, I am not here to dishearten you this morning. I am pleased with your efforts so far. But I am asking you not to quench the Spirit. And how would you do that? Not listening to these very words and reasoning in your own mind saying that's just a man speaking. Talking about Bronk. Oh, that's just a man speaking, but I hear from God. Well, you listen to these things. Judge these things, says the Spirit of the Lord. Judge them by the word. Understand this. Hearken to him. I have called you aside. I have called you to be a peculiar people unto me, saith the Lord. I have called you to walk in the Spirit and deny the flesh. Yet when you pray, you will move mountains, says the Lord. The earth has not seen people like you in many generations. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. I'm asking you to come away with me, my beloved. Know me in intimacy and know me in my word like you have. Old timers, been here 20, 25 years, prayed till your lips fell off on the floor already. He says here, know me in intimacy and know me in my word like you have never known before. Let your world that you live in become a place of peace and quietness. I promise you by my word and by my spirit that none of you, including the one speaking, that's Bronk, have come into the place of peace and quiet like I have for you. There is a stillness that will direct your day. God. There is a stillness that will direct your life. There is a stillness that cannot hear the offense. Deafened ears cannot hear, and yet you'll move out of a place of authority in my spirit continually, moving mountains and moving things in your life, and yet ears are still dull of hearing. For many of you presently, and many that will hear this, will think of other things and only hear this partially. But when you come to another place, you can hear in more depth and more depth. And it will bring you to greater depth, says the Spirit of the Lord. Last paragraph. Now here's the wall of fire. I say unto you that your entire life is to be consumed in me, saith the Lord. Our God is a consuming fire. Back to the prophecy. Give unto me what brass and what silver cannot. I desire the fruit of the earth. I desire a great harvest, saith the Spirit of the Lord. I desire that all of you walk. Now get this. I desire that all of you walk in all of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, is that not Smith Wigglesworth's prophecy? Okay. He brings up Joel's army here. I want to back up and read that sentence again. So for context, I'm back to the prophecy now. I desire that all of you walk in all of the gifts of the Spirit. All of the gifts of the Spirit flowing through you. I desire that Joel's army, the army of the last day, will flow together. No weak and no sickly among you is my desire. For I have chosen you as a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto me. And that's the end of the prophecy. Our God is a consuming fire. I could just give testimony of the purgings in my own life, the things that have happened over all these years. To the point I'd like to think, I'm reminded of that one minister's, he was here at the conference. He said he saw a thermometer kind of 0 to 100 on the back wall back there, like maturity level, you know. And he's going, Lord, where do you think I am on that, you know. And he said on the inside, I'm thinking maybe 60, 70, 80%, you know, doing pretty good. And about that time, a light started blinking 2 inches off the floor. I wonder if the purgings that to me have been so major has got me to 2 inches off the floor. And all of a sudden, I'm working on the farm with no power or very little power. That's my introduction. I'm going to start the lesson now. This won't take very long. Open up to Acts 10:38. Put a marker in Matthew 3. Yes, sir. When I do that, so there's no confusion that somebody that's not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about tongues and interpretation of tongues. What's going on right there is the Lord is giving me an instruction through a tongue, the interpretation. I'm understanding what He's saying so that I can follow Him through this service. That's what's going on. Okay, it's not weird. It's not strange. Get filled with the Holy Ghost and you'll be better off. Sorry. It's just the truth. It is what it is. Okay? We're not trying to, I don't want to, you know, it just is what it is. So, yes, sir. God, see, and I almost missed it again. He had to do it again. Let me just tell you right now, when we start moving in the Holy Ghost, let me say it another way. When the Holy Ghost starts moving through you with all the gifts, life as you know it is over. Your nice little orderly life is going to become unordered by the Holy Ghost. You're going to go where He says, do what He says, and you have very little to say in it. Your life is going to get messy, and He's going to bring people in your life like Dave talked about. Because Dave says, you do know it's not the people that you get along with that God is using to mature you. You got that? So He's going to bring stinky, smelly, doctrine messy people that He's going to depend on you to follow the Holy Ghost to help them. You got that? Life gets messy. Now the reason I'm saying that, yeah, you've heard that before. Now to some people, what I'm about, I got permission to do this. Yes, sir. One of the reasons I think for this message is that many of you did go through the con. Yes, sir. Now, he doesn't want to do a rebuke, really. How do I do that then? There was hardly anybody here at Friday prayer. I mean, when I say hardly anybody, less than 10. Except during the intercession on Saturday. There's a kind of a from 9 till whenever God gets through. There was more during that time. But during like Friday from noon till, I think it's open from noon to 10. Noon to 10, that's right. Less than 10 people. Now, I know you wouldn't lie if you told me you were home praying during that time. So aren't you glad I'm not asking for a show of hands? See, what good is conference if it doesn't change us? What good is it for Him to speak if we're not going to hearken? If we're not going to obey? Now, some people have never been around the Holy Ghost enough. I'm just going to quote Smith Wigglesworth. No, actually, I'm sorry. This is Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall said most people wouldn't know. Most Christians, most Spirit-filled Christians would not know the Holy Ghost if he walked in wearing a red top hat that says, I'm the Holy Ghost. Say, who are you? I'm telling you, life gets messy. Things are not your little orderly mind. And I'm speaking, Gary, especially. I tend to be a very logical person. That's sometimes good and sometimes to my detriment. But when the Holy Ghost comes, things get messy. I'm warning you. Now, I got permission to play this from somebody. This is 8 seconds because I don't want to scare you with more. This is real intercession. You heard about groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm not an intercessor. What I mean is that's not my primary calling in all of my life. Even at the ugly building days where I was praying so many hours, I've only had real groanings like this, similar to this, come on me. I'm going to say less than 5 times in my whole life. But there are people that are called to intercession. And they get accustomed to flowing with the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to play it. I haven't practiced this, so I'm hoping we don't get feedback. I'm going to try and play this little recording. This is somebody in real intercession, just 8 seconds from Saturday morning's prayer. Some of you had never heard the Holy Ghost. Some of you have never heard anything like this. Don't get scared. How long did that go on? I timed it. Kenneth Hagin said, watch and pray. I watched. 40 minutes. We'll play it again. That wasn't that same thing over and over, but that level of groaning. See, I think, and I love Baptists, thank God. Like Dave says, thank God for the Baptists. Where would we get our people? I had to laugh out loud. I thought of my Baptist relatives. If that would have happened in any meeting they were in, first it'd be like their eyes would be like Bambi in the headlights. Then it would be, I think I left the roast in the oven. I got to go. They'd have run like a scalded dog. I'm telling you, when the Holy Ghost shows up and you surrender to Him. Now see, part of me hesitates to even play that because you know what will happen? Little babies who want to appear spiritual will start walking around the room going, oh, all flesh. We have enough elders here who can tell the difference. You remember Dave saying, he says, hardly anybody ever prophesied when Dave was in the service? You know why? He knew the difference. He knew if it was flesh or not, you know. Isn't that right? We've got enough elders here who love you, will help you grow, but if it's flesh, we're going to come and talk with you. We're not going to have a bunch of babies going around, when it's not the Holy Ghost. Okay? And we'll do it in love. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. But I'm tired of playing church. I'm tired of being in churches that can't get Tommy out of the chair. Come on. Why did God call us to this ministry? He put a hook in your jaw. And He says, I've called you to bring the supernatural, the real working of God, so I can have the revival I want. Am I preaching? I hadn't even started the lesson yet. Oh, my goodness. All right. The title of today's lesson, believe it or not, is The Power of the Spirit. Did you find Acts 10:38? How God and I want you to notice this. First off, understand, no, there's not a word in your Bible that is there by accident. Every word is there for a reason. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Now notice this. With the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good. Is that what it says? Oh. There's an and? We're supposed to stick around for what comes after the and? So how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And that's the Greek word dunamis, where we get our word dynamite, raw, get Tommy out of the chair power. Is that okay? Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Well, let's look at it. Let's dissect this a little bit. The reason it's worded right there, I mean, sometimes the Bible refers to him as Christ. Sometimes it refers to him as Jesus Christ. Sometimes just the name Jesus. Why here is it Jesus of Nazareth? Because it wants to make it perfectly clear to you, he's talking about the man Jesus, not God. Jesus is God in the flesh. But it's worded this way so you can know he's talking about the man Jesus, born of a woman who grew up in Nazareth. Okay? This man, we do know he's the only man on earth with the life of God, but you've got that life in you now. Okay? And I've got to stay close to the message here. It's worded this way on purpose so we can know he's talking about a man. And we see two things that he was anointed with. First one, anointed with the Holy Ghost. Second, anointed with power. Okay? Well, let's look at the first one. Let's look at his baptism in the Holy Spirit. Go to Matthew 3, starting in verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, now, by the way, this is Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Ghost, descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And lo, a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, are we in agreement? That is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost came down in some kind of bodily form, John could actually see it and enveloped this Jesus, baptized him. And that's the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But notice it doesn't say a word there about power. You see that? This is the baptism, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Well, this is where he got anointed with the Holy Ghost. But there's something in between that event. It says, pictures are interfering with my reading. Yeah, so let's go with the pictures. Jesus is getting baptized with the Holy Ghost. Here comes the Spirit of God, God the Holy Ghost. And he remains on him. It's not like the Old Testament prophets where the Holy Ghost would come on them for a season. He'd come to remain. Okay? But now, Jesus is led by the Spirit. Yes, sir. That's Matthew 4:1. Matthew 4:1 says, Then something happened. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we've taught on this many times. See, Jesus is the last Adam. The first Adam, when he got tempted, he fell. The last Adam, he has to succeed where the first Adam fell. You got that? Okay. All right. Now, there still has not been a word said about power. Okay? So before, all we know so far, he's been anointed with the Holy Ghost, and notice he immediately is led by the Holy Ghost. He led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, in the language Pastor Dave taught us, what if we phrased it this way? The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness so the devil could examine him and find out if Jesus had any handles. Does that make sense to you? Wasn't he trying to turn Jesus? Isn't that the whole point? He's examining, testing, trial. Let me see if I got that first Adam. I bet I can get this one too. Took him out there. Now notice in preparation, this I'm not preaching you got to do this. Don't I'm not saying that, but I do notice. Verse 2 of Matthew 4. And when he had what? I see the wall of fire. I feel some purging. Ow! Oh. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. Now, if you read the rest of the story, we're only told of three temptations, which is really a summary. Dave taught eloquently on that. He said, if you think there was only three things. That's not how it was. He said, this man, we're told he was tempted in all points. Those three are like a summary, really. I mean, the devil through, and it's not just a devil. It says he met Satan himself. This is the Son of God. You know, hand-to-hand combat, if you'll allow me, with the God of this world, little g. Anyway. He's trying to find a handle on him. He's using everything, throwing everything in the book, not just those three temptations. They summarize. I mean, every mental illness, pride, arrogance, wealth, money, fame, fortune, the glory of men, anything and everything is contained in that three-point summary. He threw the book at him, trying to find a handle. And let me ask you this question. What if Jesus had failed? It's over. We're lost. Thank God he had no handles. But he was a man filled with the life of God. He had the life of God. So are you. Got anointed with the Holy Ghost. So have we. He got examined for handles. So do we. Now, go to Luke's account. He's the one that gives us this. Luke 4. Turn over to Luke. You've got to see this in your Bible so you can underline it. Or highlighted or put little eyeballs out in the margin. Write look. Write never forget. It's one thing I do like about my paper Bible, I can write in it. What do you understand? Although with my, actually my digital Bible, I can make notes, so you can do it either way. You can. I can make notes that stay. Oh my goodness, look at Luke 4, look at verse 13. And when the devil had ended, notice, all the temptations, it depends on what version you're reading, but every temptation, everything he could throw. I like all. He emptied his arsenal against Jesus, looking for anything where he might turn him. And he couldn't find one. And notice the last part of this. Look at the next verse. I'll read them together. Luke 4, 13 and 14. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him, now notice, for a season. And Jesus returned. Oh, if you underline. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. If you read the rest of the story, you'll find out why. Because he was going about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus himself did not start his power ministry. I got to be careful how I word this. Jesus was without handles when his power ministry began. Can I say it that way? Now we're told by Jesus, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, Father, lead us not into temptation. How many of you glad that's in there? See, we're not the last Adam. He was. He's the one that won the victory. It's not that each of us have to face the devil in the same way, not like he did. He's the one that won that victory for all of us. But now here's the gospel. He who won the victory lives in you. He with that power, he with his strength. That's why be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He's in there. He is really in there by faith. You've got to believe it. But now he gives assignments, just like that prophecy. I want you to go, I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. I want you to fast. I want you to go into my word like you never have before. I don't know about you. I can just preach and this is my, I'll just listen to myself later. Gary, there's a wall of fire in front of you that you haven't gone through yet. And the reason is you love your handles. Aren't you glad he's not preaching to you? You love your handles. You don't want to get rid of those handles. It hurts to get rid of those handles. Plus, you'd lose control over your life. Woo! I don't want to be going around people, woo! Well, I'm not saying you ever will. But it's up to him. If he wants you to, will you? Boy, that was a few little yeses. And I don't want you to... Please, we're not asking for flesh things. Me and Mike, we were in that meeting together. There was, what, 12, maybe 10, 12 people in there. And me and Mike, you know, didn't fall on me and Mike. But I knew it was God. I could tell it was God going on. I timed it. But you know, I can't fake that, you know. So what did me and Mike do? We just pray it in tongues, just believing that God's making intercession for us and praying out his plan. You know what happens to me in that same room? I got two revelations to write. Because that's my calling. I'm a teacher. Now, he can use me in intercession. He seldom does, but there's some people he uses a lot because that's their calling. That's, again, Alan's message. You've got to find out what he's called you to do. I'm not an evangelist. I've tried. You know, be nice. It's one thing to come in and preach theory. It's okay. I mean, it's fine. It's come in. Listen, talk to me after you've been in the prisons for 6 years. And you've gone nose to nose with hardened Muslims and pedophiles and drug addicts. And you're doing everything you know to get them free. And some of them you can help and some of them you can't help. Give me your theories. Theories is okay. I mean, you know, I've got theories. I'm preaching theory in a way right now. I haven't walked into miraculous like I'm going to. But I do have a track record. I do know from where I speak. I've preached Jesus in the squatter camps in South Africa. I've seen witch doctors do things over there. I have felt their barrage against me, okay, in the spirit. The whole world is kind of tired of hearing about our powerless Jesus. It's time we show them something. Tell you what, Dave's been preaching this since the 90s. I've been listening to some of his old stuff, 98, 99, 2000. Dear Lord, he was preaching out of Romans 2 back then. Every thought, I either accuse it or I excuse it. Good Lord. You know? Thank you. We love our pastor. Thank you, Lord. Let me read this. Hey, we're going to be okay. Time-wise, I'm talking. I don't know if you're going to be okay when you walk into that fire. You'll be okay when you come out. I don't know about the journey in there. It may be a whole different kind of intercession. Woo, for you. Woo, Lord have mercy. I had no idea there was this level of purging. Well, that's the problem. We haven't known. It's not that each one of us has to face that devil in the same way that Jesus did. He's the one that won that victory for us. In fact, we're supposed to pray, lead us not into temptation. Not that we're supposed to go out and be in it. But he who won the victory now lives in us. And that's why we're told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But that, there's only one way to do that. That requires submitting to the Lord who is in you. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Hebrews says, don't refuse him who's speaking from heaven. So that means presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord. That means as we are led by him, progressively, he becomes Lord of, you know, remember what he taught about the three measures of meal? The kingdom of God is like a woman who took yeast, and today we call it yeast, leaven. Anyway, she worked it through three measures of meal. Well, that's not coincidence. Three, spirit, soul, body. He wants to not just be Lord of your spirit. He wants to be Lord of your soul. He wants to be Lord of your body. It's really his body. We are his body. I'll just put you in remembrance again. Jesus said, my disciples in that day, meaning the day we're in now when he's not physically on earth, my disciples in that day, they shall fast. Well, we're in that day. All right, turn to Colossians 3. This is my first closing. Now, we're doing pretty good. See, we're not told to go out into the wilderness that same way, but that does not mean we don't have to confront our handles. And it's different with different people. Personally, am I going to go there? I don't mind. I just want to make sure I have permission. And I've told you about many of my handles. I mean, I was an alcoholic. There was a time, you know, you could turn me to the bar pretty easy. Pornography at one time was a great big old handle on me. Making money was probably the biggest handle of all. I mean, I'd have moved anywhere in the country probably for a $10,000 raise, you know. Even I wouldn't even know if there was a church there. Couldn't care less. Come pay me more money, I'll move. Those handles are gone. Pretty much they're gone. Okay? But Gary, is there anything in you that still likes to be liked? You want the esteem of men? Not as much as I used to. But I'd be lying probably if I said it doesn't hurt me when people say bad things. I noticed he said in that prophecy, you'll come to the place you'll be deaf to that. Don't even hear it. Oh my. See, Christ in us, if we let him have his way, he will mortify every handle. It's really your new nature, but it's empowered and helped by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit also, it's not just Christ, it's the Holy Spirit also helps us with those infirmities. A lot of times for me, I don't know about you, may he purge, you'll get to thinking, man, I've been purged just so much stuff, I must be doing, I think I'm 80% now. Well, except for the rooms that in your soul where you don't even go in there anymore. You know, you locked that away 10 years ago. But you pray in the Holy Ghost, and all of a sudden the lock falls off that door, it swings open, and you see all the dirt, and you go, look at all the dirt this light brought. No, the dirt was there the whole time. That's got to be purged too. Okay. I know I'm preaching Dave's messages, and proud to do it. Proud to do it. Happy to do it. Did I tell you to go to Colossians 3? Now see, you can go to the other side. It's true, we're not called to go face the devil the same way. Okay, not like Jesus did. So somebody might take that and swing all the way the other way and go, see, it's all by grace. I don't have to deal with my handles. I don't have to fast. I don't have to pray. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ. Stop. Are you born again? Yes. Am I in the right place? Am I talking to born again people?
Yes.
Are you risen with Christ?
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, now in your Bible, who is in italics. It's okay to leave it, I guess, but it's really not in the Greek. I like it better when it says, when Christ, our life, he is my life, see? When Christ, our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Now, verse 5. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify. Is he asking the Holy Ghost to do it for you? He'll help you. But ultimately, it's you. You're going to stop or you're not going to stop. You're going to step into that wall of fire that's going to purge the impurities from the gold or you're not. It's up to you. Now, hope to God that we're past these levels. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. See, I don't even want to know what that is. That just sounds bad, whatever that is. I don't know. It's like a skin disease or something. I don't want none of that. I want no evil concupiscence. Actually, I know what it means. It just, we could use a little humor. Covetousness. Boy, I know what that one is. I sure know what that one is. Living your life for money, which is idolatry. You're just bound down to a different god named Mammon. For which things the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. And I didn't copy enough. Hang on. I'm sorry. Just a moment. Because we got to go a little more. Okay, verse 7. In the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But see, now, here's some of those secret rooms. But now, also, all these things. Anger. Notice there's two different words, anger and wrath. I'm not going to teach on that today. Malice. Blasphemy. Filthy communications out of your mouth. Dirty jokes and worse. Uh-oh. Lie not one to another. seeing that you have put on, excuse me, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Well, you know, really over in Ephesians, and I'm not going to really go there, but Ephesians 6, where it says, put on the whole armor of God, and the first one is the belt of truth. For years and years and years, I thought that meant doctrine. No. It means stop lying. You should have correct doctrine. You should know the truth. But how you put on the belt of truth, you stop lying. He says it in Ephesians. He says it here. Stop it. God cannot lie. And if you're his agent on earth, you don't lie either. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Lord, I just feel I can just hear, receive ye with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. But you got to receive it. You got to listen to him who speaks from heaven. And you got to listen to him. Listen. We all have to quit fornicating. We all have to, you know, this stuff, it's not selective. It's not okay for you, you know, I don't want to pick, I have to. It's not okay for you to keep fornicating and you not. No, there's killer deals for everybody. You can't be a chronic habitual fornicator and think you're going to make heaven. You won't. Well, we've been living together for 25 years. Get married. You're living in sin. I'm sorry. That's what the Bible says. Get married. There's a reason why you don't want to. I done went to preaching now. I'm not called a preacher. I'm called to teach. Put on that new man. Listen, you're not really going to put on that new man without purging the old man. And if you still love your handles, what if I use strongholds? Pet sins? It's time to face the wall of fire. Our God is a consuming fire. This, I see it. There's power. If we want to return in the power of the Spirit. Yes, sir. Third time he's reminding me of this, and I keep going past it. I have a somewhere, don't ask me, I don't have it handy. I have read in John G. Lake's materials that he wrote himself from Africa. He said he saw a great danger in the body of Christ because many were being filled with the Holy Ghost and all they could do was speak with tongues. They had no power. Well, that's a real danger. At least we got a lot of people speaking in tongues now. It's not like that part's wrong, but that's just part of the equation. It's supposed to speak with how God anointed us with the Holy Ghost and with power. Power comes on the other side of the handles. We're not going to get the handles removed without going forward. One more time. I see the vision. I'm going to close. Our God is a consuming fire. I saw that wall of flame, far as I could see it to the left, it went to the left and the right as far as I could see. There was no way over it. There's no way to go forward from where we are. There is no way to go forward without going through that fire. And that is exactly what he's called us to do. Let's go to that other side. I want to return in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. I did my best to obey you, Lord. Listen to me. Even you watching. Now there's some, I can feel this. Maybe you're in the room. There's some, you've never been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, I can't even speak with tongues. Listen, God wants you baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you've been born again, ask Jesus to come into your heart. He is your Savior. The next step for you is to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants to baptize you. Let's all repeat this. It won't hurt you. Let's do the sinner's prayer first, just to make sure. Let's go, just in case. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I know that you are the Son of God. I know that you have been raised from the dead. I know that you were crucified to pay the price for my sin. Lord, I understand now. I thank you for your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Come into my heart. Make me brand new. And I believe that you've been raised from the dead. And I believe I am being quickened right now to be a new creature in Christ. And now, Lord, I want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm asking you, Lord, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. And I fully expect to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Fill me now, Lord. And I will release that language in Jesus' name. Now let's pray with him for about a minute. Let's let it flow. Let's let those syllables. You're going to feel a little unction coming up. It's not strong. It's usually gentle. Let it come out. You won't sound like me. You'll have your own language. It's unique for you. Okay, that's enough. Now listen, you can do that. If you got filled with the Holy Ghost, you can do that anytime you want for as long as you want. The Holy Ghost will be your teacher. And if you were not able to speak with other tongues, hold fast your confession. Say, Lord, I thank you fill me. I expect to speak at any moment. You might wake yourself up during the night speaking in other tongues.